Well, good morning, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me to Book of John. Yeah, John 6. This is one of the signs, John calls it one of the signs of Jesus. One of the signs, there's seven that he has. One of the signs, and a sign is a miracle with a lesson. That's what it is. Before we read that, I'll just tell you real quick to get it out of the way. I'm doing fine without my wife and children. I know some of you are very concerned about me, and I appreciate that. I've been living on a steady diet of government cheese and hot dogs. No, I'm doing well. Living in a van down by a river. No, everything's good. My wife and children are, you know, I miss them very much. It's quiet in the house. And I was telling Pastor Jeff and some of you this week that it's a little weird because normally my clothes magically are off the floor, but I had a pile of six pairs of socks next to my bed, and I'm like, don't those usually disappear? Where's the fairy? Oh, that's Jess, she. So things are going well, and now I just got to clean up for the next 2 days before she gets home. So we're doing good. But let me tell you, before we start, I am so excited for what God's going to do this morning. Amen? I don't know. Some of you know because I spoke to some of you this week, and I actually had written a sermon originally, and I got into Wednesday and realized I hate it. So I threw it out. Because I felt like the Lord was like, you're not there. You're drawing something out of it that's not there. And I was convicted, but then I got excited because I felt like God was going to do something special. And I think he's going to do that this morning. So let's start right here. Yeah, amen. Come on, you could be loud this morning. Come on, we're not like one of those mainline denominational churches where you just sit there and go home. We're going to be loud. We're going to get excited. If you feel like, hey, give an amen. Not for me, but for the people next to you that might need that amen. Amen? There we go. All right, John 6, 18. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat walking on the water. Now, this is in John, but I want to tell you that in Matthew, that's the same story. In Matthew, it actually says that they were terrified because they thought it was a ghost. It's a ghost! We'll get to that. So they're scared, they're frightened. But then right here, verse 20, he says to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." This morning, would you say it with me? God is with me. I will not fear. Let's say it again. God is with me. I will not fear. I won't be afraid because this morning I believe, the title of my message is called Stormwalkers. And I believe that I'm talking to some stormwalkers this morning. It's not just because I was watching a lot of, Stormtroopers and Luke Skywalker. Maybe that's part of it, but I believe that the Lord is calling you a storm walker this morning. That's who I'm talking to. Amen. We're going to drown. We're going to die. I don't want to be here. This stinks. Those were the words I said as a young boy when my father decided that he was going to take us on a little canoeing trip. Now, you got to remember who my dad is. He's an awesome man. He's not here, so I can talk about him. It's nice. My dad's an awesome guy, but he's an adventurous guy. My dad is also not just adventurous, but I would also, let me say this, he is spontaneous. So he had this idea to take an aluminum boat. Do you remember those? An aluminum boat for 2 people and to put the family of 4 of Whippies in this boat. And then go down the Cattaraugus River for fun. See, when we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and when you don't have a lot of money growing up, you come up with some crazy ideas, amen? So we set up this spot. We set up where we're going. We put a car down at one spot, and then you drive up to the other, and you put the canoe in, and you go down, and hopefully, you know how this works, everybody? So we set up the boat. We're in the boat. Things are great. It's a glorious, it's a beautiful day like this. And I may have been, you know, around 10 years old. My brother and I are in the canoe. We're in the middle, you know, no seat, just sitting there, kind of like holding on for dear life. And, you know, Cattaraugus Creek, it's a nice creek. It's kind of like a river, but not quite. So as we're rolling, you know, you could see the storm is rolling in. And then there's the thought, uh-oh. Because this is before, like, pulling up on your phone and seeing what the weather is, right? Now you can look and it's like, oh, rain's approaching in 30 minutes. Like, you know. But back then, you just rely on the weather guy, and we know how that goes. So the storm's rolling in, and we're going down, and things are starting to get a little choppy. Things are starting to pick up. But the worst part is we're going down the creek, and there's a bend. And on the bend, I'll never forget it, there was a tree that had fallen down and is now blocking. It's like there's no way to get around this tree. So instead of stopping and getting out and going around the tree, my father decided that we can get through it. We can do this. As we're going to the tree, panic starts to set into my little heart. Because I'm like, this doesn't seem right. And now the boat gets slammed against the tree. And it's, as it's there, you know what it means. It's the boat's not moving, but the water is. So the water's got to go somewhere. So the water's going into the boat. So I'm yelling, I'm going to drown. I'm going to die. And my dad's yelling, you're not going to drown. You're not going to die. Justin, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know, but I'm, in my heart, panicked. My father takes us and puts us up on that tree. He throws us up on that tree. We're clinging to the tree, right? The storm's coming. It's not here yet, but it's getting crazy. My mom screams. She's flipping out. Dad's kind of calm, but my brother, I don't know. I'm losing my mind. So finally, he gets us up on the tree. And we get out of, my parents somehow miraculously get out and they swim to the shore and we could get on the tree and hop over the storm, but the boat, it's gone. The boat got, along with all of our stuff, everything is under there. So I had this panic that I was going to die, and now I have this panic of how are we going to get back to the other car? My dad's just sitting, you know, what do? It sounds like a movie that you watch, you know, like a comedy movie, like National Lampoon's, right? So we're there, this great idea is not so great anymore, and we're there, and wouldn't you know it, we're sitting there collecting ourselves, trying to figure out what we're going to do, and it starts to hail, like marble size, marbles coming down, and that's where I'm like, this is not the plan, I want to go home, I'm like, you are just losing it. That was the storm in my life that I can remember, but I believe that we all have storms, amen? It's not something that you want to have, but sometimes, no matter how spiritual you are, you cannot, there's some storms you can't avoid. You will never make it to a place where you're so spiritual that you will not have storms anymore. I feel like somebody needs to hear that this morning. They're like, when am I going to get to a spot where I'm spiritual enough where nothing bad's going to happen? It's not. Eventually, the storm passed. We made it home, and my dad the next day had to bring a friend with a winch to pull out this canoe. And the funny part about that to me is it had holes all over it. It was totally destroyed, and somebody stole it out of our front yard. Like, okay, wasn't a huge loss. But how many of you guys know that even though the storms come, that they will leave? They will leave. And this morning, I'm talking, even though you're going through rough waters, even though you're going through tough times in this life, those storms will come, but they will go. And I believe that somebody needs this to hear this morning. I don't know where you're in, but I believe that the Lord is saying that this will pass, that you will not drown, that you will not die. You will make it through this. You will be a storm walker. You know, in this life we're in right now, you know, we're in a recession. I'm sorry if that's news to anybody here. We're in a recession. I looked at my stocks the other day and I said, why did I do that? This wasn't the plan. I'm going to drown. I'm going to die. No, we're in it. But my declaration this morning is not just that you are going to survive in the storm, but you will thrive in the storm. God will sustain us in the storm. Because listen, this is it right here. The storm might be outside of our authority or our control, but it's under his authority. It's under his control. And what I believe is this. What is God, you know, I told you, a miracle, or this right here, a sign is a miracle with a lesson. So what is the lesson? Is it that Jesus is just like, hey, I can walk on water, check me out, woo-hoo. No, there's more to this. There's more to it. I believe that God can sustain us through the storm, even though we walk, even though we're in nasty waters and the rain is all on us, that God can not only see us through it, but he can sustain us, that we will not drown in this storm. While everybody else is freaking out, we're going to be walking on the storm. Storm walkers. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us in this moment. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do so that you don't forget, because, you know, paper don't forget. You will. You'll forget what I preached last week. You probably already forgot. In fact, I was talking to Jimmy. He's not here this morning, but I was like, yeah, I told him on Wednesday I'm really struggling. I had to restart my whole sermon. He said, preach what you did last week. They probably won't even notice. Is that true, Pastor Jeff? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Walk in the storm. See, Jesus comes up to them and he says these words, do not be afraid. Don't let your life be a response to fear. Don't be afraid. Because in Matthew 14, remember I told you what, he kind of sanctified the story. I don't know, John didn't really want to admit it. I don't know. But Matthew had no problem. He said that they were scared. Why? Why? Because it was an old wives' tale back in those days that there were ghosts that ran the waters, right? There was like creepy, ooh, ghosts. I don't know. I've heard some people, you know, you've heard ghost stories growing up. Well, this was part of their culture. They thought it was a ghost. But how many of you know he wasn't a ghost? And he said, do not fear, for I am with you. But then I'm reading here, if you go to 1 John 4:18, many of you know it by heart, perfect love casts out all fear, right? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Do not be afraid, right? And it got me to thinking, I said it the other day to Scott, it's like the opposite of love is not hate. Come on. The opposite of love is fear. Come on. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. And there's two foundations that we can operate on in our life. That you're in one of the two. The number one is the foundation. We sang about that. The foundation of love. That God loves me. That his love is protecting me. He's growing me to be a better person. He's with me. I'm in a storm, but he's with me. There's that foundation. The second foundation is fear. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. See, you will live by one of these two foundations. Everything you do will derive from one of these two foundations. You will parent out of fear or love. You will parent out of fear or love. You will marry somebody out of fear or love. You will run your business out of fear or out of love. Come on. How can I be fearful in a situation but not be afraid? See, you can be frightened in the moment, but don't receive a spirit of fear that's going to dictate everything you do. You could be there because some of us, I was talking about we're in a recession. Some of us have been still paralyzed by that fear of the 2008 recession. The 2008 recession happened and you haven't done anything because fear paralyzes us. So there are people right now, and this is what always happens, you know, when the stocks go down and things happen, that those are the type of people that say, I told you so. I told you so. But what have you been doing the last 12 years? Because somebody's going to make a lot of money right now. Somebody's going to. Somebody's going to be making some money. I'm not telling you to invest in stocks. I'm not telling you what to do financially. But there are people who will be in fear that they won't move, that they're frozen because they're fearful of what's happening, But there are some people that are like walking on the water, walking on the storm. Somebody's going to make a lot of money. I pray that it's the people of God, because our foundation is in his love, not on fear of what's going on. Because every 10, 15, 20 years in our culture, in our society, this happens. Our nation finds herself in some kind of recession. This happens. But I'm walking on the storm. I'm walking on the storm. The storm is raging because some people walk in the storm and some people freeze. See, some people rest in the love of Jesus and let him rule and reign, and other people freak out. I'm not freaking out. I'm not saying there ain't no ghost except the Holy Ghost. Come on. There ain't no ghost except the Holy Ghost, and that's the one that my foundation is built on. I am trying. Frozen people live through a season, but then they continue to hold on to the fear in a constant state until the next season. Storms want to paralyze us, but Jesus is trying to teach us something here. Jesus is teaching us that I walked in the storm, so can you. I walked on the water, so can you. I walked through the storm, and so can you, because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through it. I don't set up camp there. I don't put my house there. I don't stay there. I walk through the storm. I don't hold on to the storm. I'm done holding on to the storms of life. Amen? I am done holding on through the storms. I will walk through it, and I will fear no evil. See, as long as you're walking, you got the victory. As long as you're walking with Jesus, you're winning. You know? Keep on walking in the storm. Don't stop praising in the storm. Don't stop. You will not drown in the storm. As my father told me, you will not drown. You know why? Because he realized that every storm has an expiration date. I'm learning a lot about expiration dates this week, because some of the food that's in the fridge, I'm realizing, has an expiration date. But just like that food, like those hot dogs are going bad, that storm is going bad. It's not going to last forever. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. This storm has an expiration date that you're in, and it will not take you out. I am declaring that in the name of Jesus. It will pass, but you need to make sure that when it does pass, you don't take it with you. I'm not holding on to this thing. I am moving forward. I am continuing to walk on the storm. I'm going to walk on the storm with Jesus. I'm walking in the storm with Jesus. And that's how we keep winning, amen? Amen. So we want to walk in the storm. The second thing we want to do is seek peace in the storm. Seek peace in the storm. We're walking in the storm. We're going to seek peace in the storm. You know, peace is available in the storm. There's this quote I want to read. It comes from Bill Johnson. I love this quote. This quote is, "Peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone." Come on, somebody needs to write that down. Somebody needs to write down. Peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Think about it like this. Oh, it's sunny outside, the rain's gone, everything. That's what the world says is peace, right? Everything's fine. I got a better boss. If I had better finances, if I had better medication, if I had all these things, then the storm of my life would be gone. It is not the absence of someone or of something. It's the presence of someone, and that someone is Jesus. That someone is Jesus. This peace doesn't come. Listen, I don't know how else to explain this, because the world thinks that peace comes if you just have enough willpower to get the peace. But peace doesn't come from my willpower alone, but it does require my will. I've been struggling with how to say this, because it's not that I'm saying, I'm going to be peaceful. I'm going to get it. Serenity now. Come on. How many? How about this? Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart. But Philippians 4 says that the Lord will guard your heart. So I think back to this guy that was very influential in all of our lives at Elam, Pastor Jeff and Scott, and I think, at least for me and Scott, I think. Fount Schultz, some of you have seen him, he's come here. So who's guarding my heart? Is it me or is it God? And he would say, yes. Some of you heard it. John knows, John Camiolo, you know. Yes. Who's going to do that? So who's in charge? Is it my job for peace or God's job? Yes. Who's responsible, mine or his? Yes. Who's going to do this? Listen, it's not that it's my will that I'm going to say serenity now and it's going to happen. No, that's not going to happen. But it's my will to, it's an agreement. It's an agreement that God has. I'll explain it like this. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Oh boy, I'm coming, y'all. Oh, watch out. I'm fired up. Ryan knows I called him this week. I'm pumped. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. What is he saying? Don't give it a chance. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. You don't have to keep, listen, I was thinking about this week. I'm doing really bad at locking the doors. When my kids are home, I suddenly have more of a, you know, I'm like, whatever, you want to come in, just come in. But no, a good parent or a good homeowner, you don't leave your doors wide open, right? For the woodchucks, which I killed this morning, by the way, great way to start out the day, killing a woodchuck. They're evil, I'm just telling you. You don't let the woodchucks in, the raccoons and the coyotes and the deer. You don't do that. But what do you have to do? You have to close the door and lock it. The door's got a job and you got a job. God's saying, listen, don't give it a chance. I'm going to guard you, but you got to lock the door. You got a job and I got a job. So Jesus is saying, don't allow your hearts to be troubled. Not that you won't have troubling moments in your life, because you will. Sorry, but this word troubled, oh man, in the Greek language, I love this. You know what it means in the Greek language, troubled? Stirred up. Stirred up. See, a lot of us feed on this. We stir it up. You ever see, it's like, you ever have one of those big things? We do a shrimp boil, you know, you're stirring it, just stirring it. A lot of us stirred up. A lot of us stir it up. A lot of us get shook up. It's shaken. And Jesus is saying, don't allow your heart to get stirred up. Some of us are just like, give me more, give me more. Listen, it's okay to be informed on political things. Nothing wrong. Listen, there's about 10 minutes of the news every day, I promise. The rest is just stirring it up. You know? You could read the headlines and get a pretty good idea of what's going on in the world. But then everybody wants to give their take and attack and all this stuff. And what is it doing to your heart? It's just stirring it up. Give me more. I want more. No. The Lord's saying, do not let your heart be stirred up. Don't obsess about it all day. It's something to be informed, but don't obsess about it. And my question is, what is something, you know, I was asking myself this again this week, what is something else that I can take out of my life that's stirring me up? Amen. What is it? Because I want to seek peace in the storm. I don't want to be stirred up all the time. And many of you know that I'm not on Facebook, and I will preface this by saying I have it right now so that I can be able to do Facebook Marketplace, because my fake account, nobody likes dealing with a fake person, okay? That's what I was, my fake account. But I have a real one. I still have a real one, but I'm not scrolling through that thing. I'm not scrolling through. I'm not posting, because you know what that does for my heart? It stirs it up. It stirs it up. I read this the other day. I heard somebody say, Facebook has never caused the blind to see, but Facebook has caused the dumb to speak. Some of y'all, all y'all that are not on Facebook are like, yes, that's it. Because it troubles my heart. Troubles your heart. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's your responsibility. He wants to guard your heart, but you can't just be letting everything in. You can't be stirring it up, stirring it up. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why does he say that? What does he say instead of that? Believe in me. So do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in me, meaning don't let it get stirred up. It's not saying I will be peaceful. No, because here's the deal. When my faith gets thrown out, there goes my peace too. When I'm not focusing on Jesus and believing in him and trusting in him, when that's removed from the situation, there goes my peace. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I want to be with him. I want to focus on him. That's where my peace comes from. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." See, God will keep me in perfect peace, but I got to keep my heart connected to the vine. Last week, come on. It's peaceful to be connected to the vine. I will stay connected to God. I will do what he's asked me to do. And I know that he will not fail me on what he's supposed to do. Amen? That's my foundation. That's where I want to be. I have some responsibility in this because it's not my willpower alone, but it does require my will. See, Jesus goes on to say, did I miss something? I always wonder. I'm doing what Jeff does. I don't even know where I am this morning. I'm learning, see? He goes on to say, he says, believe. He goes, listen, he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I have prepared a place for you. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying, he's giving us faith for our future. Amen? He's doing faith in our future. How do you not let your heart get troubled? You think about God and the incredible things he's done in the future of what he plans for you in eternity. But just like he said to them, we have a responsibility to prepare for the trip. He's got a place for us and we want to go there. I want to prepare for that trip. That's what we say at funerals a lot of time. He's prepared a place. But when you're going on a trip, you need to have a plan to get there. You need to pack your bags. You need to move. You need to do this. There's God's responsibility and there's mine. I want to focus on what God's doing. I want to focus on my home. I want to focus on where he's bringing me after this. Amen? So in John 14:27, it says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." You noticing, has anybody noticed a theme with Jesus? It's overwhelming because he keeps telling us over and over again, don't let your hearts get stirred up and don't be afraid. But here's this. He tells us two different pieces here. He says, my peace I give to you. Everybody say God's peace. And then the world, I do not give to you as the world gives. That's the world's peace. Say the world's peace. See, and just like the foundations, everybody is operating out of these two looks right here. Everybody's operating out of either God's peace or the world's peace. For everything that Christ has given us, everything, his peace, there's always a counterfeit that is in replace. 1 John, right? When 1 John talks about the Antichrist spirit, amen? And this listen, when we read this, I was reading up on this week, it's crazy. It's not just against, that's what we think. But the world is actually saying it's in place of, is a substitute. The world's peace is instead of God's peace. So we have the world's peace and we have God's peace. You know, my daughter was telling me she went to an arcade, an old school video arcade. Remember those?
Yeah.
They still exist on the Grand Strand of Myrtle Beach, apparently. And they went down there. And the first thing, my daughter got home, she called me. She says, "I got scammed." I'm like, "You got scammed? What are you talking about? I got scammed." I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Well, first of all, they wanted so many tickets for this and this and this. And finally, I got enough to get a couple things, and they all broke. They're all garbage. They scammed me." What's weird is I talked to my other kids, and they were like, "Yay, it was fun." You know, they didn't care. But nobody likes to get scammed. Nobody enjoys being scammed. But the world is selling a counterfeit of peace. The world is doing it because God's peace is easy to get and it's hard to lose. But the world's peace is hard to get and easy to lose. Because let's put it this way. The world's peace is this, right? You have to work and get this. I got to get the right car. I have to have the right house. I have to have the right spouse. I have to have the right kids. I have to be in the right school. I have to get the right money. I have to have this in order and this in order and this in order. And then that's what the world says is your peace. Circumstantial. But if one of those things is gone, there goes your peace. So it's hard to get and easy to lose. But God's peace is easy to get. Believe in me. Trust in me. And it's hard to lose because it's not based off of the circumstances of life. Because you can have peace in the storm. You can have it in there where the world is like, no, we need everything to be right for me to get peace. We are storm walkers, and we have peace in the storm. Not just that. Oh, I'm going to get to it, but I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to get there. Don't worry. I'm going to get there. Number three, speak peace. Speak peace to the storm. Speak peace to the storm. So what are we doing? The first thing we're doing is we're walking. We're walking. We're not going to stop. Number two, we are going to seek the peace, but now we are going to speak the peace in the storm. In another storm that Jesus was in, it says that he spoke, peace, be still. And the storm was still. Even the disciples were like, what is this? Even the waves obey him. Because even though the storm is over our heads, it's really under our feet. I said that to Jeannie this week. I said, I better write that down. You know when you feel it's over your head, it's just overwhelming? It's really under your feet, spiritually. You're walking on that. It's not. It's under. It's in God's authority. So Jesus is saying, peace be still. Because the peace of God isn't just emotional. It's not just a feeling, although it really is. It's something that can change the circumstances. It's transferable. You can hold it. It's there. It's transferable. Jesus is transferring his peace to that storm. His peace has been given to us so that we can now speak his peace. We can speak it to situations. We can speak it to others. You know how I know that we can do this? We can speak and give peace to others. I'll prove it because some of you don't know yet. Well, I want to make sure I tell you because I don't want you to just take my word for it. In Matthew 10, Jesus is sending his disciples out to do some ministry. Come on, guys, go on out there and do that. In Matthew 10, verse 13, he says, and if the house is worthy, he's telling his disciples when they're going out to do ministry, he says this, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. What is he saying? He's saying that you can let your peace, you can literally declare peace in that house. What does that mean for us? That we can speak, we can declare, we can speak the peace of God in our homes. We can speak the peace of God in our children. Come on. We can speak the peace of God to our family, to our neighbors, to our situation, to our bosses, to our businesses. We can literally speak it. It's an act of spiritual warfare. Today I want to pray for you and I want to declare peace on you. Heidi, I'm going to ask that you come up. But listen, number six, you probably heard the blessing before, the song, the blessing. Listen, I want to read this to you because this is Old Testament right here. This is what the Lord is saying. He's talking to Aaron. He's saying, this is how you bless the people. This is how you do it. He said, this is the way that you should bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless it. See, God is saying, bless them. And when you bless them, I'm going to bless them. When you bless your kids, the Lord is going to bless your kids. When you bless your finances, God's saying, when you put my name on it, I will bless it when you put my name on it. See, the New Testament, Jesus gave us the power. He gave us the power of attorney over things. It says, use my name. Use my name. He says it. Use my name. But it wasn't just there. It goes back all the way to this Old Testament where he says, put my name on it. You have the ability to put his name on it, to use his name, to place it on your kids, your finances, your health, your house. As you say it, he says it. As you speak it, he says it. Somebody get excited because God is doing awesome things. We have the power of attorney. We have the power. We have the name of God. See, we read it here in Numbers. God told Aaron, speak peace over them, and when you speak it, I will speak it. Some of you don't believe me. You're thinking, oh man, that's just Old Testament, whatever. Well, fine, turn to Jude. Turn to the book of Jude. New Testament. This man, you turn the keys up, that's good. I'm good, man, yeah, let it rip. Listen. I'm telling you right now, listen, this man, Jude, was a Jewish man. He was so dedicated to the Torah, so dedicated to the scriptures, so dedicated to the Old Testament. And this man is speaking to a group of believers, right? New Testament, Jesus has come. He lived a perfect life. He died an unfair death, but he rose again for us, amen? So this is after that. And this is after the Old Testament. This is New Covenant stuff. And in Jude 1, verse 2, he says this, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Not just added, multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. And as I mentioned earlier, we're in this recession thing. And we're in a world right now where everything is decreasing. We're dealing with recession. We're dealing with shortages. We're dealing with, what do they call it? Shrinkflation. Have you heard this? It's like the same box of cereal that you used to buy for $3.50 is still $3.50, but the box is half the size. But we're in a world where everything is decreasing, but I'm not going to cling on that. I'm clinging on the power of God where things are multiplying in the name of Jesus. I'm not clinging on that anymore. So this morning, let's stand together. I want to proclaim, I want to pray this over your life, not just for me to do to you, but for you to take this and you to proclaim that over your children, for you to proclaim that over your finances, for you to proclaim that over your job situation and your health. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're praying peace and blessing over Jeannie Burns. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're praying that over the people we prayed for earlier. We're praying for peace and love, for it to multiply, for it to continue. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to all the lives in this room, and I speak peace in the storm. I speak it. I declare it, because when I say it, Lord, I know you're saying it. I am declaring peace. I am declaring shalom on them in the name of Jesus. For your houses will not be, I'm praying right now that they will not be in turmoil any longer, but they will be filled with peace. That you won't come home and say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But the Lord's saying, I'm going to have you be an instrument of peace, that you're going to be a conduit of peace, and you're going to speak home. You're going to speak to your home and speak peace in the name of Jesus. Some of you are struggling right now with you're wondering right now with what are you going to do financially? I speak peace to your finances. I speak peace to your finances. I speak peace to your marriages. Your marriages that are in turmoil and you're like, I don't know what to do. Don't stop walking in the storm. Don't stop walking. Seek the peace and speak the peace. Even when you don't see it, speak the peace. Speak blessings over your spouse. Father. Some of you have children that aren't following the Lord and you've given up. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep walking on that storm. You are a storm walker. You are not meant to drown, and neither are your children. So right now, I speak to your children, and I say, will they be filled with the love of God? Will they be filled with the true peace, not the counterfeit peace? Will they be so radically changed in the name of Jesus? I speak peace to them. Some of you are worrying about where we're at in New York State. I speak peace to New York State. I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to continue walking where he's placed me. If that's in a storm, I'm going to continue walking in the storm. If things are going well, I'm going to continue walking, and I'm not going to lose hope. You said, do not be afraid. Lord, we know we're in these storms, but you're with us, and we're declaring this morning peace. This is spiritual warfare, folks. Right now, in your own ways, just in your own mouth, start just speaking peace to situations. Maybe you got a neighbor who's driving you crazy. Speak peace over them. See, the world wants to curse them. They tell you to curse your enemies. God says, bless your enemies. I'm speaking peace to those people who drive me crazy. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Some of you dealing with some health stuff. You know, you got all these concerns. Listen, I'm not telling you to stop taking the medication, but I'm telling you to speak peace over your body. Speak peace over your life. Because when you speak the peace, he speaks the peace. Amen. When you speak it, he speaks it. So, Lord, right now, come over. Right now, Lord, peace. Lord, we're declaring that. I want to read it to you one last time. I want to read this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Lord, we know. You say it. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Lord, we're putting your name. We're putting your name on these areas. Some of you are afraid about school. Some of you are afraid about work. Put your name on it. Put his name on it. Not your name, his name. See, he will do what he's going to do, but we have a responsibility to play in it. Lord, we are walking on the storm. Oof. And we're not doing it because it's us, like we said last week, Lord. It's you. You give us the ability to walk on the storm. And there are people drowning all around us. And I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that we will not just be storm walkers, but we will be saving people along the process and pulling them up with you, Jesus. I just picture Jesus and you pulling up hands and saying, come walk on this storm. You will not drown. You will not drown. Our world's drowning right now. Our world feels like they got nothing to do. Things are going crazy. People are freaking out. But Lord, let us be the people who are storm walkers in the name of Jesus. Storm walkers. We ain't going to stir in this anymore. We will not let our hearts be troubled. We will fix our eyes on you, and we love you. We trust you. And Lord, we are excited, like I've been saying all morning, that we're excited for what you've done, but we are excited for what you're going to do. Somebody give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Amen. Amen. You are so good to us, Lord. And again, I just pray a blessing on the people of PCF, on TC. Lord, I pray a blessing over them. Lord, we pray that they will be multiplied. Lord, we pray that their finances will be multiplied. I pray, Lord, that salvations will be multiplied with Teen Challenge. I'm praying that deliverance will be multiplied in the name of Jesus, and that those young men that are coming into those facilities, that they won't just be seek the peace, that they won't just have it, but they will be peace givers to other people, that they will be storm walkers who are bringing other storm walkers, and we pray that over them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for what you've done and what you're going to do. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Look to your neighbor, say, you're a storm walker. Amen. God bless you as you go. Have a great week in the Lord. We'll see you next week. Bring a friend.